What's the biggest single membership organisation in the country? Any ideas? Single membership organisation in this country, the biggest one? The National Trust. Anybody else think it was the National Trust? I did, I've written the sermon. But how many people in the National Trust here? Yeah, that's more or less as expected, because there are 4.5 million people in the National Trust in the UK. So it is the biggest single membership organisation. 4.5 million members. We were just discussing what it is that makes people, what it was that made you come to church for the first time. And of course, there's that parental influence. I wonder how many parents are influencing their children to come to church, and what that predicts for membership in the Church of England. But if I was to ask what is the way in which the National Trust gets its members, I wonder how many people would answer that one. I could ask you, I suppose, why it was you joined. You like castles. Maybe you just want free car parking when you go to anywhere in Cornwall, because you have to be a member. But the reason that people join the National Trust is actually very, very simple. Every single person that visits one of the National Trust's properties where you have to pay to get in, usually the castles or the big houses, every single person that visits is asked, are you a member of the National Trust? And if they're not, then the next question is, well, would you like to join? And eventually, if you like to visit houses and castles, then you crack. You crack under the pressure of these tweed-clad people sort of intimidating you on the way in, and you say, yes, all right, give me the forms, and you sign up. It's amazingly successful. It's the most successful membership strategy in the land. It beats most trade unions, I have to say. There are 6 million trade unionists, but it's declining. And what the reason for those of us in the trade union movement why it's declining is not enough people talk about why it's important to join. The National Trust don't make that mistake. The number one reason why people join membership organisations is because someone asked them. The National Trust is one of the most recognisable brands in the world. The work is very well known. People admire it. A lot of people agree with the ethos, even if they're not members. They know about it. And so it's kind of valued. But it's not the value that makes people join. It's the asking that makes people join. It's the asking that pays off. The Church of England quotes membership in 2016 of just over 1 million. That's to put us into context. Now, we've had this series of sermons about the church's vision, about our church's vision. We've been talking about everyone being welcome here, all welcome, all having space to grow in faith, all being called to serve, all finding a place to belong. And today we reach the final element, as Sarah said, all reach out. And in our second reading, the reading we've just heard, the expert in the Jewish law set out to test Jesus, and he provoked a story that has come to be known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a beautiful description of an act of service, which I think also has an important message for us about reaching out. That's why I chose it. The legal expert knew already that the heart of the Jewish law was love. God's love for people should generate a response of love from those people back to God. That's the first part of the law. He knew that. And God's love should also provoke a response of love towards others, our neighbours. And the expert knew that too, which was good. Jesus told him that all that man needed to do to be right with God was to put those things into action in his life. And as we heard, that the chap just wanted to push Jesus a bit further, and he provoked this story. The story depicting various responses to a person in desperate need. And by using that story, Jesus makes the point that Jesus' expectation is that God's love is to be shared indiscriminately with everyone who needs it. But the way that Jesus told the story would have been really challenging and offensive to the people who heard it at the time. Maybe particularly the expert in the law, but all of his hearers would have been affected by the way he told this story. In the parable, the two characters from the religious establishment, the priest and the Levite, turned out to be no kind of neighbours at all to their countrymen, their kinsmen, who lay in need in the road. The victim of the violent mugging in the story was one of their own people, a brother, certainly a neighbour, the sort of person that the law was referring to. For his hearers, the person that Jesus chose to use as a model for God's love in action was nothing better than scum. That's how badly the Jewish people thought of the Samaritan people. And it was mutual. The Samaritans hated the Jews back. And the audience would have sensed that a Samaritan would have felt just as much disdain for this Jew on the road and just as much repulsion at the thought of helping as a Jew might a Samaritan in reverse. And yet it was the Samaritan who demonstrated humanity as it's meant to be, a living picture of God's love at work. The expert in the law, as I say, knew about God's love. The religious characters in the story knew about God's love. They would have known about God's love. The one person who was seen truly to reflect God's love in action was so detestable that the expert in the law couldn't even bring himself to say it was the Samaritan when Jesus asked him who was the neighbour. You can imagine him saying, "Lord, I've had mercy on him." So Jesus, come on, who was it? The one who had mercy on him. And then Jesus said, killer line if you like, go and do likewise. God's love is to be shared indiscriminately with everyone who needs it. That's what reaching out is all about. All reach out. How can we be like the Samaritan and open to really reach out to everyone in our community? What are the barriers that stop us? What are the things that get in the way, the people perhaps we would rather not reach out to? Might be prejudice, like in the Jewish Samaritan sense. Might be just distaste, feeling of difference. I don't know. How can we overcome these barriers? When we say in our vision, all are welcome, how are we going to ensure that we get God's love to be felt by all in our community? I think it's been really striking listening to the talks over the past few weeks, how the messages of all these different elements of our vision knit together. They overlap and they complement each other, and it really makes sense as a unified vision. Our church vision, this is the vision that's about shining God's light to our community and sharing the good news of love for all, God's love, sharing it. The parts about welcoming and serving seem outwardly directed, and naturally they overlap with the idea of reaching out. Being welcome and serving, you're doing things that are outward. They're visible and active and tangible, and it's a great way to demonstrate God's love right here in Southeast London. I also happen to think that providing a place to grow in faith and where your faith can be nurtured and where people can feel a sense of belonging are also forms of reaching out, but they're more inwardly focused. In a sense, all reach out, this final element, is like a summary of everything else in the vision. And I'm a bit relieved about that, if I'm honest. I'm relieved about that because I think I favour signing up to a method of reaching out that's exercised in acts of service and welcome, things that I can do to show God's love. And of course they're important, otherwise they wouldn't be in the vision. But I'm relieved, and I wonder whether I'm alone in finding the idea of reaching out in other ways, particularly in talking to people about my faith. I wonder if I'm alone in finding that scary. A lot more scarier than doing something practical that shows people. What is it about speaking about God's love for us that is more difficult than trying to show it? Jesus' expectation is that God's love is to be shared indiscriminately with everyone who needs it. What about the people in our area that we don't reach with acts of service or welcome? 4.5 million people in the National Trust, 1 million people in the Church of England. Perhaps it's about time we overcame our reservations and started asking people along. 13,000 people in our parish, 100-150 people maybe in our church. Perhaps it's about time we overcame our reservations and started asking people along. Of course, the Church of England is not the National Trust. It's not a conventional membership organisation. I'm a member of the National Trust, so I happen to think that it does good and important work. The fearsome people at the ticket desk actually do have a really good reason to seek more members, because it's good work. But the National Trust has nothing on the importance of the message that we have. The National Trust has nothing on the message that we are given to share with the people around us. The reason we have for reaching out is about the life-changing fact that God loves every single one of us. God has shown this love by intervening in human history in the person of Jesus. The revolutionary good news of love and a relationship with God for all, which Jesus brought and which eventually led to his murder, could not be stopped by that murder. And just as death could not hold Jesus, the good news of God's love in Jesus has gone on to grow and to multiply. Because Jesus offers light in a dark world. Jesus offers reconciliation with God, no matter how far we might have wandered away from him. Surely everybody needs to know this, and it's our job to reach out with the good news. It's our job to invite people to come and hear more. And that was just as we heard in the first reading. Jesus was about to leave his friends and return to his Father, and he told them that that small group of scared people were to be witnesses, his witnesses, taking his message to all the corners of the world, to the ends of the earth. How could they do that? Well, you know they have. They weren't going to be doing it alone, Jesus said. And they weren't going to be left helpless in this task of witness. Jesus promised power from God's Holy Spirit. And it was this power that would enable the early followers of Jesus to make a difference in their work of witness. And it's this power, this Holy Spirit, that has seen the good news spread all around the world, as Henry told us a few weeks ago. By God's good grace, the good news of Jesus has been heard almost everywhere. And it's that power of the Holy Spirit which we should seek in our work as witnesses today. How can we help one another to recognize that we have the Holy Spirit with us as we go about our lives every day? The writer of the letter to the Hebrews says this: let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We should think about how we're going to encourage one another in our witness as a church. In all of our vision, we need to think about how we're going to do this better and how we're going to encourage one another to get better at it and overcome those fears that I have. We should pray ourselves about our fear, and we should ask God for the Holy Spirit to help us. But we should also take the opportunity to see how we can help one another by praying for one another, taking time maybe to discuss how it's going. Sometimes just saying to someone that you're about to speak to, a friend or a neighbor, and maybe invite them to church, is enough to make you a little bit more committed to do it, because that person will check up on you, even however informally. How did you get on with that? So why not give someone an invitation this week? They might not be ready for an invitation to church. You may not be ready to give them an invitation to church yet. So why not make it coffee? Invite them for dinner with friends from church. Invite them to donate to the food bank. Maybe see what goes on a Saturday morning at St. Peter's. You could invite them to enter the Fair Trade Bake Off. Good point. And then maybe in time you might be, when you're ready and they might be ready, they could be invited along to church. I don't think we can rely, if we're going to grow like the National Trust, we can't rely on parents making their children come along anymore. Hopefully many will, but there's more to be done. So why not tell someone your ideas for invitations over coffee later? There's lots to talk about, there's lots of really good coffee to drink, but maybe talk about what you've heard this morning, who you're going to think about inviting, ask for prayer, maybe ask someone what on earth you thought Richard was going on about this morning. And of course, if they pray for you, you can pray for them in their intentions to reach out. Because God's love is to be shared indiscriminately with everyone who needs it. Jesus says to us, go then and do likewise. Amen.